Once you've found your place in Psalm 37, please stand if you're able to stand. Psalm 37. Psalm 37, we're going to read two verses of Psalm 37, beginning from verse 4. The Bible says there, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Father, we pray that your blessings will be upon the hearers. Pray that you be with every heart. Pray it be upon my mouth, Lord God. Help us glean from this subject, knowing your will, and having a delight to be fulfilling your will. Help us understand, learn, and apply. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Just want to give these handouts, if I could. There you go. Thanks for having me. There you go. Just so you can have those verses there. And then you can follow along with the message, how to know the will of God, or how to discern the will of God for your life. That's what we're going to be speaking about this morning. And how to know the will of God, or how to discern the will of God in your life. And can I just say, when we speak about the will of God in the context which we're going to be talking about this morning, it's in the context of the unseen will of God. For example, what university does God want me to go to if he wants me to go to? Or what trade does God want me to study if he wants me to do a certain trade? Where does God want me to be in a place of service? Who does God want me to marry? Just different things perhaps that you don't necessarily see in the Bible, that, you know, I begin to look and think to myself, okay, Newcastle's not in here. So how does God lead a person to Newcastle? And I keep flicking, I say, I don't see Janet's name in here. So how does God lead me to that person that I know for sure this is God's will for my life? And God definitely has his hand on this. How do I get to that point? Now, some Christians have asked the question, can a person know the will of God for their lives, the unseen will of God? And if so, how can they know? How can they be 100% sure? What does a person do when they are perplexed about certain matters? When they come to a certain point in their lives and not really sure what step to take, the decision they should make, what kind of steps or principles they should glean from God's word? And that's what we're going to be looking at today. What decisions should they make? Have you ever been perplexed? Not sure? Not 100% sure whether this is what God wants you to do? This is where God wants you to go? Probably it could be in the littlest things, not only in the big things, but let's just talk about the big things. Talk about those things that one decision can change your life. One decision can break your life, or one decision can make your life. And so sometimes you can't unscramble an egg. What's done is done, but we can learn to say, God, I want to know your perfect will, so I could take the right steps that will be pleasing to you, to glorify your name. All right, we want to first understand that God's will, unseen will of God, is not hidden. He doesn't want to hide it from us. As a matter of fact, God's perfect will for your life, God wants it more than you do. And it's not hard. We many a times try to do things, complicate things by trying to understand things, manipulate things, get things to work our way. But, you know, if we just trust the Lord, and we step back and we wait on God and we seek God about certain matters, we find out that it's not that hard. Okay, so what do I need to do in order to know God's will for my life, for his glory? Well, number one, firstly, is you need to walk with God. There is no way in the world that anyone in this room can ever know God's will without God. There is no way in the world. So we understand that we need to have a walk with God. We need to know God first and foremost. We need to know that we are a child of God. We need to know that if we die today, we're going to be with the Lord because He's our Father and I'm going to be where God is. And we need to settle that. We need to know for sure. We need to have our assurance that I am a child of God. And then once I settle that, I need to walk with God. I need to grow. The Bible says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. And I'm so thankful for that verse and that verse prior to that, that God says I need to lay aside some things as a Christian. Alright, so we know that salvation is a one-time deal, but sanctification, being more like Christ, God working in me, and not only that, but through me, is a lifetime. It's a step-by-step lifetime decisions that I make, and some of these decisions need to be considered very carefully. I don't want to be hasty in these decisions. I don't want to act upon emotion. I don't want to react on feelings, and we're going to look at that. But what I'm trying to say is this. You need to make sure that you have a walk with God. And then we're going to look at some verses. Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Job was considered by God. Imagine that. God considering you, saying these things about you. You're perfect, upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And Noah walked with God. Abraham was called a friend of God. Wow. Imagine being called a friend of God. One, we know that a friend walks together, they talk together. And so we see that Abraham had a walk with God. Moses spoke with God face to face. As a man, notice this phrase, speaketh unto his what? Friend. And so we know that Moses had a walk with God. David had a heart for God. A woman in the Bible that demonstrated a walk with God. Hannah cried out to the Lord. Esther sought the Lord. And Mary displayed a devotion to God. Priscilla risked her life. These people, these women demonstrate to me that they had a walk with God. They had a seeking after God, wanting to please God. And these questions, not only they had a walk with God, but what do you also see that they had in common? Well, they had a respect for God's word and a love for Him. Okay, and they also had a reverence or a fear for God, a desire to obey and worship the Lord. And they also had a right stand, or they righteously, I could say, stood for what was right. Let me just say this to you. You cannot have a walk with God without standing for what's right. Daniel stood for what was right. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood for what was right. You cannot have a walk with God without eschewing evil. And Job, we see, was a man that God said he did that. And so we see also that they righteously stood up for what was right. Alright, now, notice the following verses. These verses I've given to you so you can meditate and think upon. These verses had helped me greatly to continue to seek after the will of God. Psalm verse 37, and delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy ways unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Proverbs 3 verse 5, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. Notice this. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. The Bible says in Proverbs 16 and verse 3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Bible says in Psalm 37, beginning from verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Psalm 25 verse 14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. Now, what do all these verses have in common? The Lord is always mentioned. There is no way in the world that you can ever have God's perfect will for your life without the Lord. It's God's will. It's His will. And I'm afraid these days that certain times we may feel that we just want God's best without having God. That's terrible. You cannot bypass God. As a matter of fact, the Lord has brought me to the time where saying, Charlie, do you desire me more than what you're praying for? We've got to understand that we're not seeking the things that we're praying for just so we can have God's best. That's good. To have a desire to have God's best is wonderful. To have God's perfect will in your life, that you'd make decisions that will protect you from destruction, protect you from things that would just simply harm you, that's wonderful. But I want to make sure that I'm not just going to God to see what I can get from God. I want to make sure that I'm going for God. Why? Because I want God's perfect will, notice, for His glory. So in everything that I want to do, everything that I want to focus on, and everything that I want to pray for, is for this simple fact. Lord, I want to make sure that I marry the right person so I can glorify You. Lord, I want to make sure that I'm going to a right church, not for me, so I can glorify You. Lord, I want to make sure that I'm making right decisions in my life so I can glorify You. Lord, I don't want to go to university so I can get a career. I want to go to university because I want to know that I'm able to glorify You there and that You want me there. I don't want just God's best for my life without God. You've got to understand that the Lord is our shepherd. Okay, He's the one that guides us. He's the one that leads us. And we don't want Him to lead us in the good things and say, well, thank You for that. Thank You very much. And thank God for His grace and His direction in our lives and His mercy and the way He deals with us. But evidently, these verses would show us that the Lord is always mentioned. Okay, so not only that, there is a communication with the Lord. In other words, there's a relationship there. Notice these words, delight, commit, trust, acknowledge. So you can see that these verses would reflect that we need to have a good relationship with the Lord and a good communication with the Lord. Now, first one there is very strong, I really believe, to delight, to be in His delight, to want to, and to be in His presence, to desire Him more than anything else. Yes, my friends here today, more than that, what we're praying for. Okay? All right. The Lord's promises also, we see, are fulfilled. We can see from these verses, they all have in common, that the promises are guaranteed. Notice, He shall bring it to pass. Thoughts shall be established. He shall direct thy paths. Steps will be ordered by the Lord. He will show them His covenant. So you can see God will answer prayer. According to His will, for His glory, does God want to hide His perfect will for our lives? No. And you know what? The thing is this. When you walk with the Lord, when you're in step with God and you're seeking God just for God, I guarantee you that everything will fall into place and your will, His will all of a sudden be your will. You'll never pray something against His will. And if you're perplexed about it, you would want to pray something like, Lord, I'm just making sure this is Your delight. And we're going to look at that a bit later on. Okay, so these verses I've given to you so it can be encouragement to you. Reflect upon, perhaps memorize these verses. Hide them in your heart when you come to decision making. And don't be hasty in making big decisions before getting this settled in your heart. Now, I'm just going to go quickly through these statements. Statement number one, do not work around God, but allow God to work in you and through you and around you. Okay, so I don't want to work around God. I want God to work in me and through me. Statement number two, don't put God in your calendar. God should be your calendar. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things. And, you know, when you look at that context in the scriptures, you see that these people were seeking after the needful things of the necessities of life, food, shelter, clothes, the things that God will said, I'll take care of you. But imagine even seeking some things that are not really that needful. And so, in other words, what I'm trying to say is God's kingdom and God's righteousness should be first in everything that we do. Okay, statement number three, Christians should not plan the will of God, but rather plan in the will of God. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. There's nothing wrong with planning. There's nothing wrong for making some plans in the future. But as long as they're planned in the will of God and we're walking with God and this is what God wants us to do, leave some room for adjustment when you're planning. If God wants to change things, be willing and ready. Okay, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Okay, now this is the thing. Before we get into these next few principles, I don't want to be a soul trader. Okay, you know what a soul trader is? Someone that solely trades on his own, has his ABN, and he just controls things and does things the way he pleases. Okay? I want to make sure that God is the one that is directing my steps, directing my thoughts. And I report to him, and I walk with him, and I talk with him. Let me emphasize it again before getting into these principles. You can never know the will of God without having a walk with God. Okay? All right, now, principle number one, personal feelings versus the Word of God. Okay, now, these at times will come in conflict with one another. It's common to say in our day, or the common phrase in the world today, to say, just follow your heart. How many times have you heard that? How many times have you heard that from someone or from some doctor in the world today, Dr. Phil, Oprah? Just follow your heart, everything will be okay. Just look inside. Well, I want to remind you what Jeremiah said, according to the word of the Lord, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who could know it? So don't follow your heart. All right. And this is the thing, man, we get influenced by it. I mean, we want to go by our feelings and we want to, can I say, feelings are not wrong. Emotions are not wrong. But if you let them be your guide, you're in trouble. I'm telling you why, because your feelings and your emotions go up and down like a roller coaster every day. Sometimes they're steady, that's good. Sometimes they're good. I'll tell you, I had a wonderful emotion and a feeling when I came to the Lord. But I never came to the Lord by my feeling. I feel saved. I came by believing on the Word of God, because God's Word never changes. Okay, but emotion and feeling followed. I said, praise God, it's great, and I cried. Wonderful. I'm not saying don't have emotion. I'm not saying don't have feeling, but don't let them govern your life. Don't let them control you. Okay, James chapter 1 and verse 8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, and we need to be one-minded, and that's God-minded. Okay? All right, Proverbs 28 and verse 26, he that trusteth in his own heart is what? A fool. But whosoever walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Okay, so don't trust your heart. Don't follow your heart. What do we need to follow? The Word of God. A person must strive to live and obey the very clear, seen will of God first. Let me say this to you today. In order for us to know God's unseen will, we need to have a strong desire to follow God in His very clear seen will. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, there are many clear indications in the Bible that God wants us to do specific things. And we need to have a passion and a desire to follow after those things more than the things that we're praying for. I'll tell you why. Because these things are evident and we know for sure that this is what pleases God, and I could deliberately go ahead and say, God, if this is what pleases you, I'm going to do it. Why would God ever reveal to us His will for our lives regarding these unseen things that I'd mentioned in the beginning if we don't have a heart to do what He says in His Word? Why? Why would God ever be so concerned about what we're praying for if we're not concerned about what He has commanded? Now let me ask you a question. Is there something in your life right now that God is commanding you to do, and you're prolonging and you're waiting, and you know that God wants you to do it and you're not doing it? Let me encourage you. Go home, settle it, and say, Lord, I'm going to do it. You know it's from the Lord. You know this is what God wants you to do, but you're waiting. So God, I'm going to put aside all these things that I've been seeking you for and praying for, because I want to make sure that I'm pleasing you first about what you've revealed in your word. Or you'll be frustrated with your prayer. It's almost like I hear it at times saying, Charlie, okay, you're praying for this instant, you're praying for this, and that's good, but have you considered, Charlie, what I want you to do? I've spoken to you about this, and you're not obeying. Why would God ever hear our prayer if we're not even obeying the word of the Lord, that He's made it so clear? Why? I don't know, maybe God wants you to be baptized here today. You're saved, but you're not baptized biblically. And God's pointing that in your life, and you need to obey me. Just because I'm getting a bit practical, don't be afraid. That's what preaching is. Okay, if I'm just going to preach without being practical, I'm just going to say, what if God wants me to point something in my life and He wants me to go somewhere and I'm not going? There's room for forgiveness. Absolutely. Charlie, go speak to that man. Go give him a gospel. But Lord, I'm in a hurry. I've got to go. I can't. I've done it. I've made it so clear that God wanted me to give him a track. Never done it. Went back in my car and I cried, sorry, Lord. Little things, but let's talk about the big things that God is so clearly in your life wants you to do. Can I just encourage you today? It's so clear from God's word, do it. There's nothing that would ever satisfy your heart is when you come to the point of trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Friend, you can know all the Bible verses, you can know all the stories about the Bible, you can be a committed Christian going to church, paying your duty, but God loves obedience. And He loves it when you obey fast. That's one thing that I've learned in my Christian life. Don't wait. Because the more you wait, the more you're prolonging God's perfect will for your life. Don't wait. God says something in a sermon, go ahead and do it by God's grace. God pinpoints something in the devotion, go ahead and act upon what God is speaking to your heart about. And make sure you're convinced by the very word of God, not the word of man. And so I want to encourage you, be diligent to pursue the things that God has already revealed in His word. Well, what? Let me give you a few examples. It is the will of God that no man should perish. God is not willing, He says, that any man should perish, but all come to repentance. And so we know it's the will of God for mankind to come to the Lord. If you're not saved here today, and you're not sure about your eternal destiny, and you've never, ever, ever cried out to the Lord for salvation, I want to encourage you today, today could be the day that you come and get right. For it's God's will for you to be His child. God doesn't will for you to perish. In other words, God doesn't want you to be dying in your sin and going to hell. He doesn't want that. It's against God's will, as a matter of fact. And so be sure to understand that for your life. Now, number two, it's God's will that you be sanctified. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication. Okay, so what? Understand these things, the immoral things that God wants us, to be putting away. God wants us to lay aside. Why? Because God wants me to grow. God wants me to learn. God wants me to continue to focus on holy things and wholesome things. And let me say this to you. You say, well, I'm not really fornicating here today. But, you know, there are some things that we may be listening to, seeing, that will encourage that appetite to do that, and that will hinder our growth. So whatever it is, you may say, well, it's the will of God for me to put that away. I don't want to set no wicked thing before my eyes. I don't want to set no, I don't want to listen to no wicked things that displease the Lord. All right, not only that, but it's the will of God that you give thanks. I think this is the thrust of everything in the will of God. If you're so thankful for what God has given you in life and what God saved you from, I think this is a key that you can really pursue the will of God for your life in a very perfect way. Many times you see the children of Israel murmuring and complaining, and God had really made him sick. You know, murmuring and complaining, we know what happened in the children of wilderness, and the snakes came and bit him. Oh, and God would provide a redemption plan for him. They wanted to continue to be in bondage in Egypt. Let me say, Christian here today, the best thing, if you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, the best thing for you is to give thanks and thank God for what He's done, and that you never desire to look back. Be over and done with it. And say, from here on in, I want to grow in grace. This point of coming to the point where is it worth it? Is it not? Is it worth it? Is it not? I really think of being a hearted Christian. Sell it once and for all. The world is not worth it. He is worthy. He's our Redeemer. We live for Him by His grace. Okay, so be sure to continue to pursue God's will for your life that is very clear and very evident. Okay, so we see in Psalm 119, 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Okay, and then it's a light unto my path. So God wants you, look at, God wants you to direct the here and now. God wants to direct every thought, every step, every decision, here and now. It's a lamp unto my feet. But not only that, but God wants to direct your future. A lamp unto thy path. God wants you to take these steps to lead you in His paths. Okay, so understand that the Word of God is our guide. Alright, Malachi 3 verse 6, For I am the Lord, I change not. And He doesn't. The Word of God doesn't change. God doesn't change. People change. Feelings change. But the Word of God doesn't change. Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. So personal feelings versus the Word of God. Okay, number two, you want to know God's will for your life? Then only trust the Word of God. God being your friend. Trust the Word of God. But also go to God in prayer. Versus trusting the feelings of others. Have you ever received advice or have you given advice to someone saying, I feel that you should do this? How many is guilty of saying that? Okay? I've done that before and I've said, what are you saying? Okay? And then many a times we hear it, okay? And it may be done out of ignorance or whatever, not thinking, but we don't want to go by the feelings of others. Okay, we don't want to go by the feeling of others. Job's wife, if Job went by the feelings of his wife, guess what? She was distressed, troubled. She said, why don't you just curse God and die? But he didn't. He didn't hearken to her feelings. Okay, he stayed true and he stayed intact and worshipped God. So don't let the emotion of others or the feeling of others be your guide. Many times a person may be prone, the first thing to do when something comes up, go to someone else. Okay, I'm not saying that's completely wrong. We're going to see in the next principle that it's not wrong to seek godly counsel. But the first person that you and I should seek, guess who? God. How many times we fail to do that? How many times we go and try to look in books and try to search some things and go to someone and we fail to seek God about it. Okay, so be careful not to quickly bypass God and go ask other people, and then you know what can happen? You get your answer and you can pray to God and ask amiss. God, this is my answer, this is what I'm going to do, bless it. Now, you don't want to do that. This is what you want to do. God, this is what I'm going to do. This is what my delight is. I know I'm walking with you, but I want to make sure that it's just not my delight, that this delight's come from you. I want to make sure, God, that this is of you. And now, I'm going to go seek godly counsel. I'm going to go seek godly parents. And I want to be so careful that you speak through them, because I'm going to be watching. And then the Holy Spirit of God that lives in me will give me sound wisdom to see what they say. Can I say, not everything that your godly counselors will give you can be right. Majority of the time, they'll be right when they direct you by God's word. But even then, they can say, I feel that you should do that. So when it conflicts, what should you do? Continue to pray. Continue to seek God's word. And wait. Okay? There's nothing that could take the place of God and praying to Him. Nothing. Okay? Alright, so seek God in prayer. Persistent prayer. Philippians chapter 4 verse 6, the Bible says, be careful for nothing. But in what? Some things. No. Everything. In by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Alright, number three. counsel from the ungodly versus counsel from the godly. The counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of who? The ungodly. What is ungodly? Well, let me just, in simple terms, things that against God. Things that are against God. That's simple. Simple terms. Anything that's against God's word, anything that's against God himself is ungodly. Okay? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. For they are what? Foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Now we know what happened with Judas during this time when Mary wanted to come and give a great sacrifice and a great devotion demonstrated to God. What did Judas say? What are you doing? This could have been sold and given to the poor. I don't know if they would have known. They would have known that Judas was one of the very spiritual men. You know, he kept the money bag and he always spoke up every now and then. As a matter of fact, he even encouraged some disciples and they had indignation to Mary. He's right. What did they do? I reckon they were just getting counsel from an ungodly man. They were getting counsel from a man that was wanting money for himself. Man that was more happy about his belly and his glory is his shame. Okay, what did Jesus say? Let her alone. Not wonderful sometimes when you can hear all the different voices from the world, but when Jesus speaks, you can hear it clearly. I'm not saying an audible voice, don't get me wrong. But when you look at God's word and he comforts you, many a times people say, oh, you're being too much. You're being too forceful. But when you look in the book of Acts and you see how the Holy Spirit moved men and spoke with boldness and how they just, God would give them that utterance, you think, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for not allowing me to dim the light or go in my shell or shut up. You know, many a times people, even other Christians say, you're too much. You're ruining your life. You know, you got your life ahead of you. Well, the life that I had got ahead of me, guess what it is? Eternity. Amen. Not only for me, but for you. We need to see things heavenly. For the Bible says we're here just passing through. This is not our time where we're going to set up camp. We're passing through. We're pilgrims. And so, look, let me say this. There's no such thing of being too much for Jesus. As a matter of fact, you strive to please God and you strive to go where God wants you to be, you always find that you haven't apprehended. I'll tell you. And so my prayer is for you and for me that God will use every part of us for his glory. So I don't want to hearken to the counsel of the ungodly that say you're too much. We went out giving out tracts on the street in Newcastle. We went to Charlestown and then we went to Newcastle and we had some people on the street and we're talking about different things. And they said that they were believers and they said that they, you know, loved the Lord and all the rest of it. And we're grateful to hear that there were people out there that loved the Lord. And so anyway, we spoke about the Bible for about a few matters that were concerning. And by the end of it, they had said, look, we're all Christians here. Let's just work together. Let's just all be happy. And I said to them, well, that's fine and that's good. I said, but you can just imagine if Paul said that to Peter and he didn't withstand him in his face. Oh, that's all right, Peter. We're all Christians here. You can teach bad doctrine. That's okay. Man, society has come to even the point where Christians has been influenced by the counsel of the ungodly to tone it down to the point where scripture is belittled and not worried about. Let's just all work for Jesus. Don't worry about what really the Bible says and what this is how you believe it. This is how we believe it. Let's come to that point to disagree and let's just continue to work together. Maybe on the little things, but not surely on the things that do count. And you see, you step back and you think, where did they get this influence from? The counsel of the ungodly. There are so many men behind pulpits like this in churches that are giving false doctrine. Ungodly counsel. talking about money and prosperity and health and wealth and all the rest of that. And so we need to be careful, even Christians. Let me just say this. Be careful where you get your preachings from when you download sermons from the internet. Be careful where you go and read those books from. Be careful going, I don't mind going to Quran, but when you go there, make sure you go there with a magnifying glass. All right? I call it the 5% store. 5% is good. All right? I'm not going to say it's all bad. You go in there and you'll find something that may be good. But be careful. All right? Because Satan is wise. Okay? He's come and he puts a little error in truth and he destroys, especially when it comes to the point of salvation. All right? Make sure you go to a godly council that loves the word. Okay? And will encourage you to seek God and His Word. Okay, they might give you some practical things to do, but those practical principles come from the Word of God. Alright, so you've got to be sure that it's someone that loves the Word. The Bible says there in Proverbs 11 verse 14, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Can I say this to you today? By the grace of God, I don't mind 100% if you've got pastor, preacher friends, godly parents that you can know for sure that they love the Lord and that you can go to for counsel as well. Praise God for that. That's wonderful. Because in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. But be sure that their counsel is from the Lord. The Bible says over here in Proverbs 21 and verse 30, there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. All right, now, 4. My circumstances versus God's circumstances. Be sure not to push doors open that the Lord wants closed, or close doors that the Lord wants open. Okay, but be careful with that. And we see in the book of Acts that sometimes the Spirit of God suffered the disciples not to go to a certain place, and he stopped them there. Has that ever happened to you, as a matter of fact? You know that you're walking with the Lord. You know that you've prayed about it. The door is wide open. And you go into that relationship, and you're trying to get to know that person, or you go in a certain job, and you work there for about 6 months, and then something happens. And you think to yourself, Lord, I didn't want to push this door open. I really believe that you wanted me to go here. What happened, Lord? Why didn't that happen? Have you ever had that? Well, sometimes I really believe, looking back in hindsight, that God was working some things in my life for something else. It was almost like a stepping stone. Let me say this. If it's God's will and He's leading you there and you really believe it was the door opener from God, it's not in vain. It just didn't turn out the way you thought it was going to turn out. You had this thing in your head that it's going to be, you know, great and you're going to be settled. But then God says, no, I want you to go here. But hang on a minute, Lord. Are you sure? And then you're perplexed again and you're wondering. I'm going to be speaking about that tonight. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be using Peter as an example. Reaching to the point of your life where you're perplexed and then you doubt whether that was God's will for your life or not. So why does sometimes the door open and then we go so far and the Lord says no? I really believe that God has a purpose up to that point to lead you to His perfect will. It's not wasted time. I believe it's time that you can learn from, time that you can learn to wait. But be sure that you don't push that door open. Many a times I've pushed the door open. I've wanted to do that. And you know, the Lord kind of said, okay, you go ahead. And then I realized I had to come back and do it God's way and realize, well, this is not what God wanted me to do. All right, well, you know, the David Livingstone, English missionary that opened up the continent of Africa, on his way there, he went to China. He was caught to China, as a matter of fact. He thought he was, but God closed the door. And it could have been that China was a stepping stone to Africa. I don't know. Well, many a times God may allow some things in your life. You may use circumstances. If you know that God has opened that door, if you're not sure, pray and wait. Continue to seek God's will in that. Don't force anything open. Okay, God will continue to lead by His Spirit. And I'm not talking about the audible voice. I don't know about you, but in my whole years of the 9 years of my Christian life, I didn't hear God say, Jolly, go over here. Sometimes I wish that happened. How many here wish sometimes that happened? Lord, would you just show me? Would you just tell me? Is this what you want me to do? But listen, if God revealed himself in that way, guess what? We won't need his word. We don't need to communicate or walk with God. If God showed us the helicopter view of life and we knew exactly where we were going to go, I have doubts probably would do it. But it's wonderful how God directs our step by step. Cloud by day, fire by night. That's how he led him. So why? We can trust the Lord step by step, step by step. And trust that he's going to lead us. Sometimes we want things and we want it now. We want it now. Lord, give it to me now. I want to make sure. Hey, listen, if we're walking right with God, God won't lead us astray. We can be comforted with that. But many times we can't wait. God at times will say, no, I want you to wait. But God has no time, you understand it. No, wait. And we just want to hurry up and say, you know, God, please, okay, I'll wait. Give me patience and give me it now. With that, I'm patient sometimes. And sometimes God will say, no, I'm using this circumstance in your life to get you to wait. You know, and sometimes God, through circumstances of trials in our lives, will lead us. Why? Because he is more interested in doing a work in you and me than what we're actually praying for. Did you know that? And sometimes you step back and you say, God, continue to work. Go ahead for it. And God loves it. And that's when God can work best. When we don't push doors and we let God and the Holy Spirit leads us. The Spirit said unto Philip, go near and joy thyself to this chariot. And sometimes you'll find yourself, when you're in tune with God's word, the Spirit of God will lead you. The Colossians 4 and verse 3 says, with will pray and also for us that God will open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Alright, now, last one. A person under own understanding versus trusting in God. A person's own understanding is foolishness compared to God's understanding. Alright, see Proverbs 26 and verse 4. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope for a fool than of him. A person can spend all their time in the wilderness trying to work it out, trying to manipulate, trying to work things, and waste precious time where God says, just trust me. Trust and obey. Just trust me and I'll lead you. Trust in the Lord. With what? All. Not half. With all your heart. With all that you have, mind, body and soul. Trusting the Lord with all your heart. Okay? And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. You know what God loves? God loves when you're able to trust and rest in him. You know why? That just, when you do that, that just brings about an understanding of how much you trust in his integrity. God's not going to fail you. God wants his perfect will for you. Hey, God loves you. And so when you just step back and you trust God and you rest in God, you're trusting in his integrity, and he's just, I believe it puts God, a smile on God's face. It's impossible to please God without faith. And faith believes that he's a good God and he wants to direct you. He's a great God and he wants to lead you. He doesn't want to mislead you. He's your shepherd. He wants to guide you in the right direction. As a matter of fact, our heart wants to mislead us. The world wants to mislead us. Everyone but God. Thank God for Christian friends and Christian counsel that have the heart of God that want to help us. Praise God for that. I'm not going to say everyone, but completely everyone, but you know what I'm talking about. All right? The only person that wants good for your life is God. And he doesn't want to let you down. And God loves it when you trust him. God loves when you trust his word. A person can trust the one. A person can't trust the one they don't know. That's why I'm going to go back and conclude this with the fact that you need to know your God. Walk with Him, know His character. If you don't sit in your bed at night or wake up in the morning or during the week and read the Word and just delight yourself in the Lord, how do you know what's going to please Him? To please Him. How? And so what we need to be doing is we need to be delighting ourselves in the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of your heart. The unseen will of God will unfold once you're walking with God. Can I say this? It will happen. You don't have to try. When you delight yourself in your obedience to God's word, and you're doing right things biblically, and you're not manipulating, and you're not pushing buttons, and you have a heart to please God, and have a heart that God will work in me more than what I want and what I'm praying for, then all of a sudden you will find yourself in God's will, and things will begin to happen. And you can look back in hindsight and say, thank you, Lord, for your leading me and guiding me. Many a times, let me tell you, I've prayed about some things. And someone's perhaps said, I want you to be praying about this. I said, friend, I've already prayed. I really believe God's leading me. Now, don't you want to be in a situation of your life that you know God is leading you? Don't you want to be in a situation in your life that God has given you wisdom already that you've already prayed for in the day? Man, I don't want to keep doubting. I want to know, man, this is where God's brought me. This is an answer to prayer. I don't need to be praying about this. God's answered. And you can watch God work. Man, it's wonderful. It's wonderful just to see God's hand work. And knowing that it is from the Lord. The greatest danger that you and I can ever live is when we're planning our own will and we go to God in prayer because it makes us feel better. And we've already made up our mind. That's terrible. But I want to delight myself in God. I want to be in the way of the Lord. I want to be sure that I'm obeying the Lord. Now, one example, and I'm closing. Turn your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24, and we'll finish with this. Genesis chapter 24, beginning from verse 27. We see Isaac over here basically hearkening to the voice of his father Abraham and trusting his father's counsel. Well, we know that his father Abraham did not want him to marry someone that wasn't a God-fearer, didn't want him to marry someone that perhaps wasn't of like faith, and he wanted the best for him. And by the way, never consider someone, if you want to marry them, that's not a Christian. The Bible's very clear about that. What does darkness have to do with light? Don't be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. And by the way, even partnership and having a partnership where you sign a contract with an unbeliever is not good. You say, why? Well, maybe he wants to cheat on his taxes and you don't. There's going to be friction and there's going to be butting of heads. Okay, so we have, praise God, those scriptures to guide us and to lead us. But also we see a man obeying his father. Isaac obeying Abraham. And we see in verse 27 of Genesis chapter 24, and he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. Notice this phrase now. Don't miss it. I've been in the way the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And we know what happened. The Lord had given him Rachel. Now, no, that's beautiful. I've been in the way the Lord led me. What a beautiful assurance that he had. What a wonderful thing that we could glean from this morning and say, that's the assurance I can have. What's the key? Being in the way of the Lord. Walking with God. delighting in God and His Word, having a heart for God's glory, more for that what you're praying for. As a matter of fact, what you're praying for is for the glory of God. Well, I hope that's been a blessing to you this morning. I thought to continue in a practical sense tonight by using the example, being Peter being an example. Tonight we'll look at Peter, and it'll be called taking a step of faith. Okay, this is to the point of where you know 100% that God has made it clear to you. God has made His Word absolutely clear, and He wants you to do something, and you know it, and then when God reveals it to you, it's time to step. Alright, so that's what we're going to look at tonight, a step of faith. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father in heaven, Lord God, we just come before you this morning and thank you for your precious word. Thank you, Father, for it is a guide to us. Thank you, Lord, for it is a light unto our, it's a light unto our path. It's a lamp unto our feet. We're so thankful, Father, that we have the blessed word from the heavenly God that can be trusted. We're so thankful, Father, that we have a God like you. With all heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask a question this morning. And you say, I want to say to you, do you know for sure, 100%, that you're saved here today, and if you die, you'd be with the Lord? You say, well, I'm not really sure. I'm not 100% sure that if I die, I'll be with the Lord. I know I have a Christian background. I know that I've read a few stories. I know about Jesus, but I don't have that assurance yet that if I die, I'll be with the one that made me. You say, Brother Charlie, please pray for me. I want to know. I want to be sure. Anyone like that, you can lift up your hand and slip it back down. I see that hand. Amen. Anyone else? Amen. I see that hand as well. You can slip it back down. I'll be praying for you, and I'll be asking God that will give you the courage to stay back, and you can make that sure today. You could be sure. You're here and you're a Christian. You say, Brother Charlie, I'm perplexed about some decisions. And I don't want to start manipulating things. I don't want to start taking things in my own hand. I want to start trusting the Lord, and I want to do it today. You say, please pray for me. Anyone like that? You say, please pray for me. Amen. Anyone else? You say, please pray for me. Amen. Anyone else? Amen. You may be here today and you say, Charlie, I am praying for God's perfect will in my life, but I'm struggling with some things that I haven't obeyed the Lord with, and God pointed something today in my life that I need to be quick to obey, and I want to because I love Him. I want to because He's worth it. And I want to make that decision today. Please pray for me. Anyone like that? Say, please pray for me. Amen. Anyone else? So I don't want to wait anymore. I don't want to hold back. I know God's pointed something in my life, and it's very clear, and I'm not going to wait anymore, and I want to do it. Please pray for me. Anyone like that? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Father, for those ones that have had a heart to know you. They want to know about the assurance of salvation. They want to know that when they die, they're going to be with the one that made them. Lord God, I pray that you'd encourage them today to have the courage to ask, what must I do to be saved? And that we can show them from the Word of God, and they can pray and receive the Lord today, and heaven can be their home. Father, I pray that you'd give them the grace and the courage, and protect them, Lord God, from any distractions that would take place after the service. Lord, I pray for those that have decided that they want to be very sensitive and not to control things or manipulate things, but they want to fully rely on you and walk with you and be sensitive to your Spirit and guidance. I pray you grant that to them by your grace. I pray, Father, for the one that had a heart to say, I'm not going to wait anymore. I'm going to obey the Lord in this. I pray that you'd give him the courage and the strength and the grace to follow through His desire, or the desire that you've put in His heart for your glory. Father, we love you, we praise you for your word, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.